Down now, is that good? Okay. It's good to be with you this morning. I know Randy and Mike have been trying to get me up here to meet everybody for a couple of years now, and I am so glad that this time it worked out. We're able to be here, be together, and talk about the subject that has been announced for this week, that of a Christian family and Christian homes, as we sang just a few minutes ago. Karen and I, neither one of us, have been in this area. We were flying over the country coming in and looking at the beauty of the mountains, saying, "Where are we?" No, we just didn't know. What is that out there? That's beautiful. What is it? So the man sitting next to us said, I think it was Silverton or some city that he recognized out there, but it was beautiful. And we're so glad that we're here to be with you today. I'm amazed that every time I preach on a subject like this, Karen says, "I'm a better husband, or a better father, or a better grandfather." She says, "You need to preach on this all the time." So it does give me a lot of things to think about. As I think about the Bible and what God tells us that He wants us to be as husbands, as fathers, as mothers and wives, as children, and even grandparents. We'll talk about all of those in the lesson this morning. The lesson this morning is going to be somewhat general. I'm going to introduce some things that we will be getting into more detail during the rest of the week. I'm going to make one change. The Monday and Tuesday lessons are going to be swapped. Instead of women on Monday and men on Tuesday, we're going to do the men on Monday and the women on Tuesday. So you'll note that on your calendar or on your agenda there. We'll talk about men tomorrow evening. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll be talking about the subject of secure homes. How we can make our homes more secure. In a world that is full of things that distract us, pull us away from each other, from serving God, it's not easy to have a secure home. And so that's going to be the topic later on this evening. I want to start this morning's lesson by going back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. And as I think about this verse has always impressed me. And as I grow older, I keep saying to myself, I haven't reached that age yet where you can call me gray-headed and aged and so forth. That's a few years out there. But there are a lot of people that are younger than me that might look at me in that category. And so when I think about what Moses says here, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God, I am the Lord." He's saying that in the family, in the process of maturing and growing older, there's something very important about those that have reached this stage in life. And a lot of times when we think about the family, we tend to forget about the fact of the grandparents or those that are, you know, in that age category, that they're no longer directly responsible for child rearing and other things going on in the family. But Moses is saying here, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. First of all, I want to tell us this morning that we shall not forget those that are growing older and maturing in age. Their ability to earn a living may have lessened. They may not be able to get up and go to work 5 or 6 days a week and earn that living. They may not be able to get out and do things that they used to could do. They may not be able to take care of the house and duties around the house anymore. But he says, you honor them. You respect them. You give them that honor that they deserve, that they have earned. A lot of times, we see situations where a daughter or a son or those that are looking at their parents and saying, there's no way that we can take care of them. There's no way that we can bring them into our household. We both work. We both have these activities going on. We've got our children to raise. We've got others to take care of. We have responsibilities. And so what we see is that the children start shirking the responsibility that they have to their parents to take care of them in later life. I know situations where those that have brought aged parents into their house and have devoted themselves to taking care of them. But I know situations of the opposite too, where they have said, we just can't do this. And they put them into a assisted living and eventually a step down facility to where they are fully under the care of the state. Now I know there are situations that come up when that has to be done. I know that dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that are hard to take care of. And sometimes it just becomes impossible to take care of an older person. I know there are medical things that come up that you don't have the knowledge to be able to deal with, that you need outside care. Those things happen. But what I'm saying is, when we can take care of an individual that has lived their life taking care of us, and we can't turn around and take care of them, we are not fulfilling our responsibility. There is no point in our lives that I believe we can say, I have done what I need to do. I'm absolutely free and devoid of responsibility any longer. We can't say that. You know, when you think about it, the older generations are a blessing to us and to our children. And I know generations now that can go four generations and say, we are blessed because we know our great-great-grandchildren. Isn't that wonderful? And when those great-great-grandchildren grow up and remember the days that they spent with their grandparents and great-grandparents, they're going to be blessed by those memories. They're going to be encouraged, and it's going to help them to be able to do the same thing for their children and grandchildren. Our responsibilities as a family don't end when we have raised our children, when we've put them through college, when we've gotten them married, our responsibilities never end in those things. And isn't it a blessing to know that those age individuals have something that they can offer to us? Husbands and fathers, I know that you all are familiar with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. But Paul writes, beginning in chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we'll come back to that verse. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. But he doesn't stop there. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's a responsibility that we as fathers have towards our children. How many of you are Bible teachers, classroom teachers here during church service? You have children in your class, not adult classes, but children. And they come into the class, and you gave them an assignment. Next time we come together, I want you to memorize this verse. Or next time we come together, I want you to be able to explain what this verse is teaching. And they come in, and they've forgotten all about it. What verse? I don't remember the verse. No, I can't tell you what that is. What did you say last time? And you get upset. And you get mad. And you want to take it out on that child. But let me tell you, if you're going to take it out on anybody, take it out on the father. Because the father is the one that's responsible for taking that child and what they are being taught in a Bible class, and when they come home, is to take that material and teach it at home. Now, that's something that we as fathers shirk sometimes. We get busy. We are so busy that we go out and we've got our job, we've got our responsibilities, we've got our recreation, and we start forgetting about our family and our responsibilities that we have as fathers to train up and to teach our children, so that when that assignment is given in Bible class and they come home, we ask them, well, did the teacher ask you to do anything between now and Wednesday night? And they said, yes. Okay, let's talk about it. Tomorrow morning at breakfast, we're going to sit down. And together as a family, we're going to eat together. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to read those verses. And then tomorrow evening, when I come home from work, we're going to pray about it. And you're going to tell me some things that you are learning and some questions that you may have, so that by the time Wednesday rolls around, they can go back to that class and the father has been the one that has helped instruct them. Fathers, we have a great responsibility to train our children up. There was a song, 1974 was when this song was written. And I wanted to share with you just a verse or two of this song. How many of you remember Jim Croce? Now that's dating you, if you do. 1974, some of you weren't even born. 1974, Jim Croce wrote a song. He said, a child arrived just the other day. came into the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch, bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, "I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you." My son turned 10 just the other day. Said, "Thanks to the ball now common, let's play. Will you teach me to throw?" I said today. "I've got a lot to do." He said, "That's okay." And he walked away and he smiled and he said, "You know, I'm going to be just like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you." He came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, "I'm proud of you. Won't you sit for a while?" He shook his head and said with a smile, "What I'm feeling like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please?" I've long since retired, and my son's moved away. And this is what gets you. I called him up just the other day. "I'd like to see you, if you don't mind." He said, "I'd love to, Dad. If I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle, and the kids have the flu, and it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been real nice talking to you." And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was like me. Sad, isn't it? I don't normally read songs from the pulpit like this, but I really think the message that is in this song is a message that we need to hear, fathers. We need to understand that we have that responsibility to train up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Don't train them up to play baseball. That's okay. If we've done the nurture and the admonition and the Lord first. Don't help them become a straight-A student and get that scholarship if that's all you do. If you neglect training them up in the nurture of the admonition of the Lord, that scholarship is not important. It's not going to do them any good. It's going to be a temporary thing. But what about their eternal salvation? I talk about a cell phone. I talk about how important it is. We use them every day. We're tethered to them. And that can be good in many ways. But how many times have you seen parents on the phone, and I'm guilty of this at times, and they're neglecting family? They're doing something that is recreational on the phone. They're playing a game or they're reading a Facebook comment or post, and the family needs them. That's the thing that we've got to understand when it comes to parents, and especially to husbands, to fathers, that we have a responsibility to train up our children, to discuss the scriptures with them, to help them. And I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter whether you're the head of the home, whether you're an elder over the flock of the congregation, or whether you're the president of the United States. All of these carry honors and blessings. But they also carry a 24-hour-a-day responsibility that we have to guide those that are under us. And if we neglect that responsibility, we have just neglected all there is. If we accept the responsibility of bringing a child into the world, if we accept the responsibility of becoming an elder in the Lord's church, or even as a president, We are accepting responsibilities that we have to perform on, or we don't deserve to be called a parent or an elder or a president. If we can't do what God wants us to do. Why are we losing our generation? Now, why have we, in previous generations, lost children? It is primarily because the father has failed to be the leader in the house and to take the responsibility of training up the children. Now, that doesn't take away the responsibility of wives, does it? Mothers also have that responsibility. Go back to Proverbs, the 31st chapter. And here we find the description of the worthy woman. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses there. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. It says here, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, hold your place there for just a moment and go over to Titus. Titus, the second chapter. And we will begin in verse, let's go back to verse 1. Let's get the context here. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage, okay, understand what he's saying here, that they may encourage or train, some translations say, the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, to be pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Now you take Proverbs 31, and it talks about the fact that the husband can trust his wife. Whatever she's doing, he knows that what she's doing is for his benefit, for his honor. And as the husband is the head of the house and responsible for how the house rules and things are conducted, he can also trust the wife and the mother to be able to carry out those responsibilities when he's not at home. He also has a responsibility of making a living. He has to go out and provide for the family. But while he's gone, he can trust his wife. And Titus says here that part of the responsibility of the woman is to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, subject to their own husbands, and so forth. Now, I'm not saying that a woman can't work outside the home. That's not the point. I believe a woman can. I don't see any restriction on a woman working outside the home. But, there is that but. She has first responsibilities at home that she has to take care of. And if she is not willing to work within that realm and make sure that those responsibilities are taken care of, I truly believe that if you find a husband and a wife, a father and a mother, who are doing what the Lord has asked them to do. I almost said 100% of the time our children would grow up and be faithful. That's not true. Proverbs talks about the fact that if you train up a child in the way of the Lord, he'll not depart from it. Is that an absolute? I don't know. I don't know. That's what it says. Well, somebody might say, well, that's just a general statement. That's just a rule of thumb. And it's not necessarily 100% true. I'm not going to argue either way. But I will say this, that the chances of that statement being true are enhanced when the father and the mother are doing what they need to do to fulfill their responsibilities in the house. Now, that child has free will. That child can decide, despite what mother and father have taught them, despite the examples, the training, that they're going to go off and do something else. That's their choice. But I'm saying to you that the choice that they're going to make is going to be towards serving God if we as fathers and mothers fulfill our responsibilities. Now, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We do things. We get upset. We get angry. We are not always the right example. We do make mistakes. But in making those mistakes, there is also the responsibility of sitting down with our children and saying, I failed today. I failed you. I wasn't here when you needed me. When you came home from school and you had a rough day at school, I was doing something else. My mind was on something else. And I wasn't there to sit down with you and help you and encourage you. When you wanted to talk about a problem that you were facing, I was busy. And I'm sorry. I know you needed me. I know you needed to talk about these things. Brethren, as a family, we work together. We're not at odds. We talk about it. We'll talk about these in succeeding lessons this week. But our goal is to train up the child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Our goal is to love our children, mothers especially, as it says here, to be workers at home, kind and subject to their husbands. That's the God-given way. What about children? We'll touch on them just briefly. In Luke, the second chapter, you're all familiar with the story of Jesus. In chapter 2 and verse 52, Luke tells us that Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. But you say, that's the Lord. That's the Son of God. But he was also a man. And he was also a child. He was 12 years old here. And he kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And that says a lot for Mary and Joseph. But it says a lot for Jesus, too, that was his goal. That was what he wanted to do. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 that we alluded to a little bit earlier talks about the fact of parents, that the children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And honor your father and mother. How many times have you heard a child say, I'm going to do what my parents said to do, but I don't like it. All right, I'm going to go to bed because they say it's bedtime. But I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to go in there and I'll sneak out my cell phone and I'll text people and I'll do this. And they'll think I'm obeying them. And in essence, I am. I went to bed. That's not honoring your parents. Honor your parents, your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That's another one of those general statements, I guess. If you honor your parents, you're going to live a long time. If you don't, you may not. Well, we can understand some of the wisdom of that. If we honor our parents and they tell us, you know, you eat certain kind of foods and you don't do this, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't go out here and gamble, you don't do anything like that. Yeah, our health is going to be better. We're going to live longer. These kind of things are important. But God said, through Paul here, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I believe God is going to bless us. I believe God is going to use us as His servant when we honor our parents and when we honor Him. That's the responsibility that children have. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you. Parents, train up your children in the Lord, for this is right, that they may live long on the earth, or that they may not depart from you. All of these things are true. Children, honor and obey. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Kind of wrapping up here, verse 14. I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep the house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. Paul's talking about taking care of our family and the responsibilities of the church to take care of widows in previous verses in this chapter. But he says in verse 14, we have a need to get married, to bear children, and to keep the house and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. I know people that have lived their whole life, never got married. Never found somebody that they wanted to marry. And Paul talks in other places, and the Bible talks in other places about dedicating yourself to the Lord. And this is good. But the Lord also created man for woman. And he said, or woman for man. Or man for woman. Yeah, I think we could say it both ways, couldn't we? A woman needs a man, and a man needs a woman. And he says, the younger widows are to get married and bear children. That's a responsibility we have, and sometimes, biologically, they can't bear children. That's not neglecting their responsibility. They could still go adopt children. They could still help others raise children. But the point is, that in general, he says, get married, bear children, and keep your house. Brethren, if I can emphasize this just one more time, we don't have responsibility to anybody else but to the Lord, to our family, and to our fellow Christians. If we focus on those things, if we will concentrate on our families, if we will concentrate on our relationship with our husband and wife, which we'll talk about later this week, I guarantee you that what we are seeing in this country right now, divorce, suicide, traumas of all sorts. You talk about the abuse that is going on in families. It is phenomenal. It's because we have neglected God. And we need to get back to God and what He has told us to do. There's no better way. Thank you for your attention this morning, and I appreciate the time that we have been able to be together in Bible study and worship this morning. And I pray that the thoughts have helped you. Karen will say, they've helped me. They have helped me to think about these things again. I have 10 grandchildren. I am blessed. And I'm so happy. And I want to just hug all of them all the time. I don't have the opportunity because we don't all live in the same area. But children are a blessing to us. And let's do what the Lord wants us to do. There may be somebody here this morning who in some way is subject to the invitation of Jesus. When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And John says about Jesus, or Jesus said in John, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We've got to come to Jesus. We've got to listen to what he says, obey what he says, serve him. And that's the only way that we're going to get to heaven. If there's anyone subject to the invitation of our Lord this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?